From the Findlay Toyota Studio, it's Cofield and Company.
Air quotes, load management issues.
Nah, man, I'm not going to talk about that right now.
It's not Clemson's fault.
I need 25,000 chicken sandwiches.
It's time for Cofield and Company with Steve Cofield on ESPN Las Vegas.
John Von Tobel here is the company. Steve Cofield, Ari. We're going to go behind the patch with Adam Hill in about 30 minutes. Latest Wednesday Raiders report. Why is it super important this week? Because they have a game tomorrow. So this is not a midweek deal and a beat-up team. We're going to find out just how they're mending and if some of these guys are going to play tomorrow night.
Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents the Big Five at Five. Number five.
All right, let's start with something current, NBA. What's going on right now, and then we'll get to more NBA in just a couple minutes. So we are tracking Houston and Golden State. This is the first part of the ESPN Wednesday night dealio. You know, we were just talking about all these new people in the gambling space, right, and how they're getting caught all the time on social media, like using weird lines, claiming wins when they didn't get them. I want your advice on this one. I often will talk about in-play wagering afterwards. Is in-play wagering just off the table?
From what
as a sports radio topic?
I don't think so.
Because for me, NFL, 90% of what I do is in-play.
Yeah.
And I'll come in on Monday, and I did it on Monday, and I said, hey, I got this number at this point. I had this number, you know. But is it too far out of the scope for the average bettor? Because I'll mention something I just mentioned to you off the air. The Golden State-Houston game starts, right? The line's 16. The total was 229.5, by the way, Candy, if you're out there listening. What did I say yesterday? You argued it was going to be like 235. But the Rockets are favored by 16, right? I look up. I'm a multitasker, right? Mm-hmm. You couldn't tell. Brilliant spot with John Murray. And I'm looking at in play. All of a sudden, it's 8-2 to start the game. Golden State, line goes immediately down to 11.5. Those are the situations I like. When I like a side and they get off to a bad start, maybe this is bad logic. Maybe it's what the books want. But if I see some value there in the first 2 minutes, I'm like, all right, now I can get them at 11.5. I got them at 12.5. Is this worth a discussion? I mean, in-play is legit now, right?
Yeah, I think with the expansion of in-game play, or in-play wagering, that's definitely worth the discussion, 100%. And basketball is a perfect sport for it. Like, in-game is really cool with a lot of these sports, right? Football is always going to be pretty popular with it. But the NBA and college basketball itself is just a game of runs. And you can get so many spots where you can come in on a team that's favored, like the Rockets were tonight, and get in pretty low. It's a really good sport to get involved with in game.
Well, what I need to correct from a mindset standpoint as a gambler is siding with bad teams sometimes. When they get out to a lead, they're going to win some games. And I got caught the other night on Monday night. I just did not pick up on the fact that Eric Pascal was going to go freaking crazy. And I was waiting for the number to drop because Portland came in 11.5, eventually 12.5 on the road against Golden State. Golden State was 1-5 against the spread to that point in the season. And I got a low number at the beginning of the fourth quarter with Portland. And they got it to 99 up, and then they just fell apart. No. I didn't see that it was Golden State's night, and they had a great fourth quarter. The crowd actually stayed around. They were chanting MVP for Eric Pascal, which is funny. Two, what am I missing with Portland?
Well, they've had, going back to the preseason, they weren't good along the perimeter defensively. And I think right now opponents are shooting in the range of 36% against them from beyond the arc. But that's a big issue for them. The fact that defensively they're just not that good. Obviously, they lost Collins too, so their depth takes a hit in the front court because Collins has the procedure. We know about what's going on with Nurkic right now at this point. Is it Nurkic? I can't remember.
Nurkic, right? Yeah. No, it's a big loss.
Yeah, with the devastating broken leg before the playoffs last year. So they're missing two role players. They're not good defensively, and that's been a big issue for them coming into this year. You saw it in the preseason. It really showed. And like you mentioned it, the big win for Golden State a couple of weeks ago. Like they couldn't get a stop. They kept scoring, and Golden State still got a lot of issues defensively, but they just couldn't get a stop for them.
You know, I also think you're going to have to fight the urge to think that Golden State has no chance to compete at all because there's going to be nights that they're going to compete. Here's the other thing. How are teams looking at Golden State now? You think they're getting ramped up for the game?
I mean, not anymore. If Draymond and Steph were on the floor, they'd still have the bullseye on their back. But right now, I don't think they care. It's just a uniform now at this point. This game's great, by the way. They're just bombing away.
It's 28-26. Minute left. Actually, a little under the pace.
Yep.
Minute left, but they have just been firing. And we know the Rockets don't play a whole lot of defense. I'm not sure Golden State can.
You want the numbers on this Rockets defense? These are pretty good. So Houston coming into this game, defensive rating 115.6 or 115.6 points per 100 possessions. Opponents shooting 41% from three-point range, 44% from all mid-range shots. But here's my favorite. With Harden and Westbrook on the floor together, their net differential is negative 9.3, and their defensive rating is 116.5.
Oh, boy.
It's not going well.
Wait, why did I just bet in play on the Rockets?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Number four.
Did you follow my quest for the chicken sandwich the other day?
I did.
Yeah,
I did.
Sorry.
Actually, I sent you a picture because I saw you were freaking out. And every time I drove by the one on Decatur and 215, there was nobody there.
Well,
now,
turns out. That was the spot. But yeah. I did go there. I went there the first day, and it was crazy. There was almost no one there. And meanwhile, you know, 4 miles across the 15 on the east side, people are ready to freaking choke each other out over sandwiches. So, but the jig is up because that one's getting crowded now. Yep. I tried to go there on Monday night. This was great, actually. I tried to go there on Monday night after Monday night football. I'm driving across town like 8:15. I get over there. I pull up, and some voice off to my left is like, "They just sold out." And then he goes, "Secret location, huh?" I was like, wait a second. I look to my left. It's one of our listeners.
Oh, really?
Yeah, longtime listener, Patrick. And Patrick's got the satchel of sandwiches.
Oh, he got them,
He got them, and he said they just ran out.
He didn't give you one?
Oh, I wouldn't take them for free. I mean, hey, man.
Well, I mean, I would assume you pay for it.
The way
still.
It goes. The way it goes. Survival of the fittest.
It's a Wild West out there.
But I got caught. I got caught. My secret location is out. Actually, someone DM'd me. That's how serious this is getting. Someone DM'd me. They're like, "Can you please tell me the location you got them at?" And I'm like, here you go. I'm like, don't tell anybody.
Keep it on the DL, as the kids say.
But you're the one who alerted me to that spot.
I'm still amazed, man. Like, I don't know how I got in and got it the first day.
Like, before the mad rush, the first wave.
Yeah, there was nobody.
This whole thing's gotten crazy. You know, the sandwich is good.
Well, you had it.
Good for Papa. I have had it. I got yelled at by, actually, I told Candy I got them. I actually didn't eat them on the spot because I'm a nice person. And I waited for the SO later on Sunday. And, you know, we reheated it, repurposed it.
On the grill.
And we had them. No, I didn't throw it on the grill. little microwave just to heat it up a little bit. And then we got one of those, infrared, whatever it's called, ovens that you can heat stuff up in. But I waited. And I've been eating them, actually, the last couple of days. It's been a treat that's lasted.
Wait, how many did you get?
I got four.
Oh, okay.
Frankly, I should have gotten eight.
Yeah, you should have.
But I had a family behind me that told me that Centennial Hills had just sold out. And they called down to this location and drove down. And I could hear the guy griping because a couple of people in front of me had gotten like three. And he's like, "How many are you getting?" I'm like,
I don't know. I'll take 10.
I'm in front of you. I'm going to get as many as I want.
It's America, bro.
There's no limit. But it has gotten out of control. Did you see the video the other day with the drive-through where like a car is trying to wedge in front of another car? And it's just going against a barrier, ripping off his doors and molding. Like, calm down. We had a stabbing.
Yep.
It's gotten nuts. We had some guy screaming and yelling at another location, dropping N-bombs. Then he got his ass kicked outside. Now, it's hysteria, but there's nothing. What can Popeyes do? Just manage it better? What do they have to have? Security? For TMZ to put up a headline like this, trolls trying to get people triggered, says Popeyes madness, death be damned, the chicken sandwich shall remain. I guess people are saying you shouldn't sell it anymore.
So we're going to stop selling alcohol now? Right? I mean, that's it's the same thing. Come on. Stop. It's all
WWMJD. What's the last?
Michael Jackson?
No. Oh. What would Michael Jordan do? What did Michael Jordan do when people were kicking the crap out of each other with all these releases of his stupid sneakers?
F them kids.
He just counted the money.
Yep. That's my favorite meme. It's Michael Jordan standing there, and it just says "F them kids."
Now,
the Times New Roman. It's awesome.
I will say that it was it really a meme?
Yeah.
I will say what Jordan and Nike were doing actually could have been curbed because they were building it up and doing like, you know, these releases late night, having people wait in line. I feel like this is different. It's gonna calm down.
Of course, but it all just comes back to the same thing. Like, just we as a, like, people suck. Like,
we really are crazy.
Like, we really do. It's a chicken sandwich. There's no need to, like, fight over it or something like that. There's also, by the way, because the power of social media, I'll have to find out the account. There's a dude out there. He's like a little social media chef.
Mm-hmm.
He perfectly recreated the Popeye's chicken sandwich mm-hmm. down to a T. You can make it at home. It's not that bad. It's a decent sandwich, but you don't need to be fighting and killing people.
What do you think of the comment I brought up a couple minutes ago with John Murray? There was someone who was saying on social media that the Chick-fil-A sandwich is lighter and this Popeye sandwich is like a gut bomb. And then your buddy Mitch Moss said the same thing.
I saw Mitch.
Like, yeah. What are we doing?
Mitch, like, I'd take a 2-hour nap after eating.
He's
like,
cut it out.
Just stop.
I mean, it's a decadent sandwich. Yeah. We got to curb. We got to eat lighter.
Now, I will say, I mean, I did split the only sandwich that I had. Mm. So, you know, maybe I didn't get the full effect.
It's a hearty sandwich.
In my belly.
I also had a discussion. Boy, we're doing a lot of this. I had a discussion with someone who said, take the pickles off. And I was like, no, sir. I actually, the one I had last night, I threw about 6 extra pickle slices on. Mm. I like pickles.
Pickles are great.
I want a little extra moistness.
Yeah.
Did that sound creepy?
No, it did a little bit, but yeah. No, pickles are great. It actually fits the sandwich perfectly.
It's a nice crunch.
I would make the argument that the pickles on that sandwich fit it better than the pickles on the homophobic chicken sandwich.
Is there a difference?
Because there's no other sauce on the homophobic chicken sandwich. It's just pickles and chicken. The pickles pair well with the sauce on the Popeye's chicken sandwich.
Do you know what the sauce is?
I think it's like it depends on which sandwich you get, because the spicy one has like a spicy chipotle mayo.
Okay.
And then the other's like I think a normal type of mayo. I think there might be a little something in it.
Yeah, I was told by my Popeye's insider that actually the reason it takes a little while too, if they're not efficient, there is a kind of a buttering and toasting process that it has to go through. So that's, you know, they're making them fresh. They're doing it for you people.
I like to get
don't kill each other over the sandwiches.
I like to get my toast BBS at some other spots.
BBS?
Butter both sides.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh, but that could be a gut bomb. And for, you know, light eaters, it could put them to sleep. Poor guys.
Number 3.
Skinny people.
Did you see that too? Did you see some of the reaction to our president, Donald Trump, going to be at the LSU-Alabama game? Joe Burrow, the LSU quarterback, thinks it's pretty cool.
You know, regardless of your political views, that's pretty cool, having the president at the game. Doesn't matter whether you're a Democrat or Republican. President at the game is pretty cool.
All right.
I can get that.
Said simply. Yes.
Republican.
Yes. Sometimes we struggle with the language. I'm sure I'll make a mistake here in the next 5 seconds.
I'm perfect.
I'm perfect.
No, I could get like this, like, you know, it is. It's kind of cool. President's there regardless of what's happening.
I mean, have you latched on? Kind of the running joke is, why is he going to the game?
Well, I mean, can I make the obvious joke?
Yes.
Is that he's trying to get everything, like he's just doing the bucket list because he's not going to be there next year.
Oh, no. The running joke is he's really frustrated by his last couple of appearances at events because he went to UFC at MSG and he got booed. And he went to the Nats game in the World Series and he got booed. And he's like, all right, time to go to the Deep South. It's got to be 50-50.
That's a good
I think
point.
It'll be more. I think he'll do well there.
I think so.
I think
too.
He'll get a nice ovation.
I thought he was just trying to, like, you know, just knock off all the events on the bucket list because he doesn't know if he was going to be back or not.
That's not a given.
No, I know. That's what
I'm saying.
That's
not a given.
Like, that's pretty good, though. Okay, I get it. He just needs. He essentially, he's going in. He wants an easy win. Be good.
It got rough. I don't even know if it's UFC fans who don't like him, but the fact that he was in New York and some of it's his presidency. He was never a well-liked guy in New York.
No, well, I spent time in Atlantic City.
He wasn't a very well-liked guy in New York or his home areas or New Jersey. He just was not, and that had nothing to do with politics back, you know, 15 and 20 years ago.
In my time in Atlantic City, when I would go back and forth last year.
Yeah, don't mention his name in Atlantic City.
Yeah, because, you know, you just ask about the town and all that stuff, and you'd hear from a lot of people.
Ooh.
The common theme from almost anybody, and like you said, nothing to do with politics, it was Trump ruined this town. Like, with the hotels and just the way he handled things there, like, he ruined Atlantic City was the general consensus that I got from a lot of people on the ground.
Trump Taj Mahal is one of the great disasters in building history, and there's still a lot of people who are owed money from that. Yep. So there's a lot of bitterness. But I will come to his defense. Atlantic City ruined Atlantic City.
Yeah, I mean,
because the greed there, they were, like, if you've never been to Atlantic City in their heyday, the freaking over, I mean, like, we're getting crazy here with the fees, you would go there, and it was like you were lucky to be there. And when competition came along, guess what? People remember that lack of, you know, real nice service. So they just don't go. It's dead during the week. Sports gambling's brought it back a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Like, the times when I would go there, like, there was a couple of trips that I went out early, so we'd go out, like, on a Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. No one's there.
It's there tumbleweeds. It's, there's nothing. There's a couple people that live in the area, obviously, but I was amazed. Like, it's so isolated.
I'd go out for boxing on a Thursday to go cover the first couple of days with press conferences and weigh-ins. Nothing.
Yep.
It's a weekend town. And, President Trump did some of that, but it was a citywide approach to customer service that was real crap.
Number two.
Great job by the Lakers. But I think we're both going to pump the brakes a little bit here, right? 6-1 start. What's your problem?
It's clearly the schedule. I mean, they haven't played anybody up to this point. Now, they've looked good, right? But their schedule up to this point has included the Grizzlies, the Hornets. Who else am I missing?
The Mavs. But I think the Mavs are going to be pretty decent. No, you know, probably 35 win team.
And that was a really good, that was a solid performance by them, a solid win overall. But that's been my thing, is you look at the schedule overall, it hasn't been the greatest competition, and the other teams that they've been blown out. So the Bulls, Spurs, Mavs, Grizzlies, Hornets, Jazz, and Clippers. That's your, and look, you lost to the Clippers on opening night. You've looked better since. The win over the Jazz, I think, looks a little bit better at this point.
Bulls, they also needed a 19-point edge in the fourth quarter to come back and win it.
That's what I'm saying. And, like, and even, was it the Grizzlies game, which they actually fell into an early hole, and Anthony Davis had 40 and 20 to pull them out of that one, and they ended up blowing up the Grizzlies 120-91. So, look, they're going to be a good team, and they're going to be a better playoff team because of the way they're going to play, and it's going to be Anthony and LeBron. And I see the schedule.
Wow.
And you and I were talking
about
this.
Did you see this coming up, what they got?
Their schedule?
This is amazing. They're going to get out, I mean, potentially, unless there's a major problem, they could be like 12-2.
Well, Steve, if you read the NBA betting guide that I wrote, I broke down their schedule.
Damn it. I didn't get to that part. They play Raptors at home. All right, not easy.
Yep.
At the Suns, which the Suns have become better. Competitive now.
Mm-hmm.
Warriors, they're going to kill the Warriors. Boy, the Kings. Are the Kings the most disappointing team in the NBA?
I think they have to be.
What a start.
Which makes their blowout of the Knicks even worse for New York.
Home against the Hawks. Home against the Hawks without John Collins.
Mm-hmm.
And then back-to-back home and road against the Thunder.
Yep.
That is a team, because I also wanted to loop in some other surprising teams. Are you surprised the Thunder have been competitive? Your boy, SGA.
Yeah, that kid's great. He is one of the great draft picks that, again, like, that team and the Clippers just hit on perfectly. They knew who he was. They knew what they wanted him. I'm not surprised that they're competitive because I really like their starting. Like, look at their starting lineup overall. If they want to go small and play Gallinari at the five, like, they're going to be great, and they can score a lot. My question has always been, and I picked them under in the Westgate contest and in the book, it sounds like they're still going to trade Chris Paul at some point maybe. And so that's always been my thing, is once Chris Paul leaves, what happens with the team overall? Be curious.
But
that still
has to be the long-range plan.
No, of course.
Just because you're winning a little bit now.
Yeah.
It's a tank. So you got to get something for CP3.
And Gallinari's on an expiring deal as well. And so that means he could be gone too.
Just freaking pray CP3 stays healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Because that could be a disaster. Okay, on the Lakers real quick. Watching the Mavs game, I'm going to tell you what I didn't like.
We're in agreement.
I don't like the two-man game. Mm-hmm. They're doing way... Because they ran a nice play to get the game-tying three at the end of regulation.
Dwight Howard had a nice play, too.
There was a foul. He held on a pick, but Danny Green delivered the three. But the two-man game with LeBron and Anthony Davis, I did not think was producing good shots. Now, they made the shots, but Anthony Davis coming off kind of like a half pick and popping and taking fadeaways from 19 is not a quality shot. And the other thing that was a little alarming, against good defenders, can 34 going on 35 LeBron get by people? Like, if he's got a head of steam, you know, on a full court break, he's fine. But in the half court, he couldn't get by Doncic.
Yep.
Or Doncic. He couldn't get by Luka. And that, by the way, the other problem, and maybe this is Luka's just ridiculous, he freaking torched them.
Oh, he did. But, and yeah, I'm curious too, big picture for the Mavericks, real quick before we get to the Lakers. He torched the Lakers. Kristaps was a no-show. And so you got to wonder what's going to happen there. But when it comes to Lakers, like, I completely agree with you. Down the stretch, they ran one of two plays. It was LeBron clearing everybody out and taking a three from the wing, or it was clear everybody out except for AD, give it to him on the low block, and do exactly what you did. So you don't really like that at all. I feel like LeBron at times can still – he still has it. You mentioned it, like, I think late third quarter, early fourth, he got the ball and just torched everybody down the floor and got a monster slam, looked kind of like his old self. But I think Doncic is just a little bit better than we give him credit for on the defensive end. He's better than I give him credit for on the defensive end for the most part.
Well, you just gave him credit.
Yeah, well, I should say going into the season, I wasn't giving him too much credit. I didn't think he was like a terrible on-ball defender, but I definitely think he could be had against better ball dribblers.
Number one,
NBA late night spot, ESPN. We wait for NBA Wednesday every single week. Do it, Greek Freak, Kawhi. It's on. 7 o'clock start. Wait, Clippers are getting 6.5. What the hell's going on here?
Kawhi Leonard's not playing.
Again?
Oh, he's got a knee injury. You didn't know this?
Oh, no. Yeah. They address this on Golic and Wingo. Trey Wingo, very mad? Or is ESPN really mad?
For the second time this season already, Doris, we have Kawhi sitting out because of, air quotes, load management issues on that knee. I thought there was supposed to be a rule against this.
Okay. I threw it out on Twitter earlier. Is Trey Wingo really mad, or did the bosses say, hey, we got to get this out there? This is kind of bullcrap. So Doris Burke comes on. Love Dobie. Not as much as what's his face there? Drake. I don't have a Doris Burke t-shirt. But Doris Burke does throw out the disclaimer that ESPN personalities talking about this. It's kind of a mixed bag because they're the ones getting screwed tonight on No Kawhi.
Listen, I'm going to preface my remarks by saying, obviously, I work for a company that has a vested interest in their stars hitting the floor when we have them. It is mind-boggling to me that Kawhi doesn't want to play against the reigning MVP, and he'd rather play against Portland tomorrow night on TNT.
Is it mind-boggling? Are you mad about this? Because I'm not.
I'm not. I mean, I'm mad for a different reason that we've talked about. I don't care about like primetime games, things like that. I don't care about that. To me, it's about transparency. And again, today, they talked about this being approved by the NBA. And if it's going to be approved by the NBA, tell you what, because they have this approved, you clearly know what games he is planning on sitting out. Release the entire list. Tell us the entire list of games.
Well, they don't know the whole season yet.
Are you sure? They have the schedule.
I bet you they have a couple weeks in advance, but I mean,
they have the schedule, though, Steve. They've known it for a long time. Man. You don't think that they went back. A guy who was sat out 20 games last year, or 22 games last year for Toronto, you don't think that in the preseason, once they signed him, they went through the schedule and they found the spots and they were like, okay, well, look at these. Because they've been approved by the NBA. And even if it's a couple of weeks out, you need to release that list. And you need to say, hey, these are the games he's not playing. Because you have a deal with the sports book, you have a partnership with the sports book, and you want to talk about transparency and you want to talk about integrity, then tell us what games he is planning on sitting out, because you know.
But Kawhi not playing, to me, is ridiculous at this point. I don't understand it. He is a great player. He is compelling to watch. If you've watched any of his games, he's been absolutely brilliant in the fourth quarter and won them a ton of games. And the Clippers obviously have a responsibility to Kawhi and to winning and to long-term. Kawhi not playing tonight, yes, I'm not there tonight, but I am disappointed for my colleagues, and I'm disappointed for the fans. And when this pinches the NBA, I do not know. But to me, the league has a problem.
League has a problem, Doris Burke. I don't think the league has a problem. This is going to happen. Tom on Twitter said if the league wants to stop this, reduce the games by 20, make them more meaningful. Says the reason this won't happen is fans are willing to buy tickets no matter what. So why should the NBA intervene at all? Another listener response. Michael said it's great for getting bench minutes. It also encourages being a fan of a team and not just individual players. We'll continue to address this. Also go behind the patch with Adam Hill and his Raiders report.
It's the Big 5 at 5, brought to you by Battle Born Injury Lawyers. If you've been injured, call Justin Watkins at Battle Born Injury Lawyers, 570-9000.
Raider Nation, let's go, let's go, Raider Nation.
Moreau is on the right. Carr is looking to throw in the end zone. Fires, touchdown Moreau. Moreau makes the catch as Carr switched the tight ends late.
Right now, Adam Hill takes us behind the patch with the latest on the Raiders, only on Cofield and Company.
Cofield Media with the call, Brent Musburger. Adam Hill on the road all week. We go behind the patch. Everything changes with the Raiders on a short week. What's up, sir?
Not much. How are you guys doing? I'm sure you are better than me because while we complain about traffic all the time in Vegas, I'm heading out to see my nephews. And I just saw a 4.4 miles on the GPS, 38 minutes.
Nice. Yeah, dude, it's nice. California is a living hell when it comes to driving. I was kind of mapping out next week because I have to hit Oakland/Berkeley and then L.A. And I was looking at the L.A. end of it, and everything in L.A. late in the week next week was between like 5 miles and 10, and every ride was like 38 minutes to 55. I'm like, this is nuts. All right, let's talk about, before we get to the Raiders and what's going on today, because there's a lot of injury questions to get to with Adam Hill. You've been in the Bay Area the whole week. We're tracking, because I bet it, and it's on, the Rockets and Golden State. The Rockets don't care. They're up 2 right now. It's 50-48. They cannot contain the MVP of the league, Eric Pascal. You went to the Chase Center the other night.
I did.
What'd you think? I heard the arena's, I'll say, unique.
Interesting. In what way did you hear that it's unique? Because I'll say this.
Yeah.
The expectations were through the roof, obviously, because everybody has talked about how unbelievable that place is. And listen, the actual arena, the amenities, the concourse of the bathroom, it's all state of the art. There's no question about it. But I think when you hear like how great some place is, you just have this like unreal expectation. Like, it's just an arena. I don't know what people expect to happen. Like, I think you kind of feel like you're going to walk in there and like a golden parachute is going to lift you to your seat. Like, I don't know what more you could probably have from an arena, but I definitely wasn't blown away by Chase Center. And certainly the area around it needs a lot of work. There is nothing around it. After the game, I walked up around Oracle, which is about 3/4 mile, maybe 8/10 mile. There's a couple of bars and restaurants around Oracle that have popped up, but around the Axel Arena, there's just nothing there, and I was kind of let down a little bit by that.
What's better, the Fortress as an arena, the Sactown Arena, or this arena in San Fran?
I don't think I've been to an arena I liked more than the Golden One Center in Sacramento. I think that place is unbelievable. The way that it's constructed, the way that it kind of incorporates downtown a little bit into it, I think that place is unbelievable. So I'm going to put that number one. I like T-Mobile. I think that they were limited in terms of space around it. I think that they made it a little bit. It's weird to say, but like I think the concourses are kind of smaller and things are kind of compacted more than it would have been if they had more room to build an arena. So I think there's some shortcomings there, but I think it's an unbelievable arena. I think I'll put Chase Center behind both of them, though.
The Fortress has been accused of piping in noise. Will the San Fran Arena for Golden State games eventually get there because there's no fans in the fourth quarter?
It was dead. And actually, I got to witness history as the first ever win for the Warriors at Chase Center. So nobody can ever take that away from me, Steve.
No one can. Okay.
Yeah. 1-0 with Adam Hill in attendance.
Yes. It was, I mean, I think it was lively, much more lively than I expected, in the sense that, they've been so bad and I didn't expect to see a whole lot from the fans, but they were kind of into it, being that, hey, everybody's kind of against them now. They have no starters that anybody even knows who they are. I think that, the fans kind of bought into that and got behind them a little bit. There was the MVP chance for Eric Pascal on his birthday the other night. So the crowd was a little more into it than I expected. But trust me, I don't think when they built this place, anybody had any thought that there might be like $30 tickets at game time in like the fourth game of the season like there was the other day. Now, I splurged and I bought club-level seats for $100. But I don't think anybody thought that would happen either. Like, I think that it's a totally different world than people expected when they built this place. So they actually are getting some fans in there that are real fans that, a couple of the players had given interviews before the season that they're pricing out the real fans. That might not be as much of a concern right now with the fact that people can actually get in and get tickets now.
Adam Hill, I'm curious. So you talked about a little bit about the fans. So do you think you saw a lot of the Silicon Valley elite out there when you were out there that night?
Sure. I think there was those, but I think most of them are just checking out the arena like I was. I think that there was fans that didn't think they'd ever be able to get in that actually got to get in. And then I think I also got to experience something that I thought was very obnoxious, and maybe I'm just alone in this because I think everything's obnoxious, but the level of fans saying things like, because I was just listening to conversations around me, people saying things like, you know, people thought we wouldn't really love this team because we've had so much success, but you know, I really like this scrappy nature of this team, and like I think I'm interested to see how they play this year. Like, yeah, because you're getting four All-Stars back next year. Like, it's really easy yep. to go through a down year and to still support the team when you know what's on the horizon.
Adam Hills with us. All right, let's get to some Raiders news. Offensive line, we have any clarity on what the Raiders are going to run on the field tomorrow night?
None, Steve. Both Trent Brown and Rodney Hudson remain questionable. Yesterday was a very light practice. It was a walkthrough, so we weren't really going to get to gauge anything out of that. And, you know, both of them were on the field. But, as you know, we've talked about this before. We don't really get to see much. Yesterday we got to see some stretching from them, and that's about it. They were both listed as limited. Today, no media availability at all. And, gosh, should I take a shot at the Bay Area media on this, or should I just leave it alone?
Do what you want.
Do it.
Especially if it's the Athletic.
The Bay Area media, from what I understand, because we asked for some interviews today, the Bay Area media asked the Raiders to not have availability today.
Really?
Because they have so checked out on this team.
Why do they care?
They wanted a day off. It kind of screws us as people that actually want to cover the team and go out to practice that they asked out of availability today. So no access for the media.
And by the way, the reason I mentioned the Athletic jokingly is that the Athletic, it's correct, right? They've been banned from going on at least one of the radio stations in the Bay Area, right?
Yes, that is true.
Yes, and that's actually a nationwide thing. So all CBS radio stations supposedly are not allowed to have Athletic writers on.
What's the impetus behind that?
Probably too deep divey, but I guess the complaint was that they were just doing too much promoting, maybe not providing enough information.
Mm.
And frankly, Adam, do you remember what the Athletic boss said about you guys in newspapers when they started?
Their goal is to put us out of business.
To bleed them and put them out of business. Mm. So I think there are some radio groups that are like, yeah, they're they're competition, so you're not coming on anymore. You're not getting airwave time. Let's talk about the defensive backfield. Specifically, Worley made a big play late, but my God, this is something they got to worry about moving forward, and especially in this game against the Chargers. We know Rivers is a damn good quarterback, and he's got weapons. He's got weapons on the edges.
Yeah, for sure. No question about it. So a lot will be on Darryl Worley in this game. You know, it was certainly you saw the best and worst of Darryl Worley the other day. I mean, he got beat really bad on the short touchdown, but I think it was by Marvin Jones that got him. That just abused him on a route. It was a very simple route. He faked to the outside, cut inside. Worley had no chance against it. And then he got beat on a deep play, which seemed to be more of a miscommunication. He didn't really know what the safeties were doing behind him, and he kind of let a guy go, and turned out Galladay just got a long touchdown on him. So he was terrible. And I think a lot of people, myself included, were just tweeting about how badly he was playing. And all of a sudden he comes up with that play in the end zone that – multiple people in the locker room, now I thought this was exaggeration, but multiple people in the locker room told me it was the best play they'd ever been a part of on a football field.
Wow.
That interception that he got against Galladay. And then Worley himself said, I don't think I've ever made a better play than that. So,
jeez.
You know, a lot of people were raving about that. Paul Gunther yesterday said it was the best play he's ever seen as a coordinator. So that was a huge play, and it was big in the sense that it turned the game around so much. The Lions were in control at that point. Their offense was moving at will. They were about to go up 21-10. Worley gets that interception in the end zone. They go score on it. So instead of being down 21-10, they're up 17-14. So that was such a major play in that game. So it was not only the play, it was also the impact that it had. So you saw the best and worst of Worley there. They need more consistency out of him for sure. Part of it, he's talked about, he's got a lingering Achilles issue. He's playing through it. He's going to go tomorrow. But this is really impacting him. In fact, on that last drive, he was not on the field. He said that he asked out of the game. He said, I felt I was hurting the team more than I was helping. I couldn't move around on my leg at all, so I asked out of that game. And then Nevin Lawson comes in for him, gets that huge pass interference penalty against him on the last drive, so almost proved very costly. They need more consistency. The spectacular plays are great. They need him to be better. Trayvon Mullen actually has been pretty good in stepping up and filling in since they traded Gerrion Conley, so that's been kind of encouraging. The safeties have been much, much better as well. Eric Harris has added a different dimension there. So the pass defense is getting better. The secondary is performing better. They just need to be a little bit more consistent, and they're going to get a boost. Rookie Isaiah Johnson coming off the IR, he should go tomorrow at least some, so they get to see him a little bit too. So the youth movement is there in the secondary. but also these guys are playing pretty well for the Raiders and helping them. So the run defense has stayed good. The pass defense is getting a little better. They're going to need it to be really good tomorrow because the Chargers are coming to town, and they're playing much, much better. The offensive line woes is really what held them back. They got Okung back. They're playing a little bit better on the offensive line. And once that happens, the skill players can shine.
Let's go rapid fire. We got about 3 minutes here. So no Arden Key. Morrow's out. So do they just go with what they have on the defensive line, especially at the end, or are they going to call someone up from the practice squad?
Yeah, it looks like they're going to go with what they have. And, you know, a lot of that is they're going to need Max Crosby to continue to make plays. He's been a guy that's been making plays. His aggression and his enthusiasm is showing up. Both good and bad. He's making a lot of plays, but he's also getting called for a lot of penalties. He's had 3 fines already this year as well for being over-aggressive in spots. Benson Mayoa has played pretty well, too. But they need something out of their ends because, you know, Cleveland Furl made a couple plays last week. He's still not giving them much. Mayoa is pretty good in the pass rush. Crosby, decent overall. But the inside of that line has been so much better and so much improved with Hankins and Hall and other guys making plays. They need somebody on the ends to step up and make a whole lot more plays.
Important notes from the locker room. Adam gets embedded in these locker rooms like no one else until he makes them mad, and then he's out.
True.
Did Mo Hurst get a Popeye's chicken sandwich? I know he was desperately pushing for someone to go and make a run for him.
Not that I know of. Yeah. As of when we got escorted out of the room, and that happens, it's only open for 45 minutes. Wow. So when that 45 minutes runs out, we get pushed out of there pretty quickly. As of that point, nobody had been assigned to go make a Popeye's chicken sandwich run. So I don't know. I will try to find out tomorrow if that ever happened, but it didn't seem like it was trending in that direction. And the other note from that tweet is power is the most pressing topic in that locker room, and I am so lost because I've never seen an episode. But they were in this heated debate like it was real life, and I was so confused of what was going on. And finally, one of the other guys looked at my face and was like, they're talking about power. You clearly have no idea what they're saying. I was like, no. I thought somebody had actually been killed. I don't know what's going on. But they love that show.
I'm in. I'm going to start watching it. All right, Adam. Yeah. All the important notes from Oakland. Adam, have fun tomorrow. I don't know that we'll check in with you because it'll be right up against the game. But we'll see you here on Friday.
Sounds good.
Adam Hill, Behind the Patch, Raiders Report. All right, we'll get you an update on what's going on in that Golden State Rockets game. Grab bag is on the way, and as always, we forgot to give you the trivia answer, so we'll give you the answer to the question we had middle of the show. What was the song again? Winner Takes It All. What movie was it featured in? That's coming up.
More of Cofield & Company is on the way, live in the Finley Toyota Studios.
Hey, hold on. Bag up.
Grab bag. Brought to you by the Golden Nugget Las Vegas.
Don't touch it. Don't even look at it.
Only on ESPN Las Vegas.
What you doing? Stick your hand in there, dude.
Question for you. Who's the most powerful entertainment world endorser of fast food chicken sandwiches? Is it myself with Popeyes or Conor McGregor with Burger King?
It's tough. It's got to go with Conor McGregor.
I mean, Popeyes, this whole thing's been so crazy. I mean, I think I've had more success in pushing it out there.
Well, I mean, I'm surprised they haven't used the lady who's always on their commercials. They always have the same lady in Popeyes commercials. And I haven't seen her for
I don't think she's aggressive enough.
Yeah, it's like, you know, that Southern hospitality.
Kind of like,
uses,
all of a sudden she's going to be like a badass kind of going at the at Chick-fil-A and stuff.
Chicken sandwich.
I don't know if it works.
Yeah, McGregor was good. That's what I was telling you. It was harkening back to the spicy chicken sandwich from Burger King.
BK's got a good one.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Give me some music. This show is known for never delivering when we're supposed to. Trivia question from like 90 minutes ago, if you were wondering. This song, Winner Takes It All. So, Asia's playing the Golden Nugget. Get your tickets for 52 Fridays, 8 o'clock show. We had a couple of winners earlier. But the lead singer of Asia actually did this song. Right, for a 1987 movie, they heard it and they're like, yeah, we don't like the there's no edge in your voice, bruh. Where's Sammy Hagar? So Sammy Hagar did it. Play it again. I bet you, what was it they've done? What? He was the lead singer in Asia. I bet you couldn't do that.
Yeah!
Whatever that is at the beginning. So when I was delivering the question, what 1987 movie was it in, I turned my hat around, and you guys both looked at me like, what is he doing?
I thought you were doing an Ash Ketchum thing.
No. No.
What over he the, does every time he tries
Over the Top. Over the Top. That was the movie. Remember the Stallone? You got to look this up. You got to watch it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't remember.
It's it's genuinely, Wiley? Genuinely entertaining. For all the Stallone movies, I'd put it slightly ahead of all the Rockies and Rambo.
I'd put a lot ahead of the Rockies.
I'm lying. It was cheesy, but it was a fun movie. And he might win in the end. And they may have played Winner Takes It All 7 times during the movie.
I would assume that happens after he wins. It all.
As soon as the hat goes on backwards, it's winning time. It's winning time. All right, second half. Back in there.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
63-54. Houston, in one of the feature games tonight on ESPN, is up 9, 30 seconds into the second half. We got Clippers and T-Wolves coming up a little later on.
Clippers, Bucks.
Did I say T-Wolves?
Yeah.
Oops. Little difference. The T-Wolves are not as good as the Bucks. Back in there.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
College basketball. We had our old buddy Mark Seidel bragging about Cole Anthony, Greg Anthony's kid, now at North Carolina. Eh, I don't see what the big deal is. They went out and beat Notre Dame. Cole Anthony's debut.
Ridiculous.
Legacy player. Why did he come to UNLV? We understand why he didn't come here. 34 points for Cole Anthony.
Was it 11 rebounds?
Holy moly.
11 rebounds, 5 assists as well.
I've seen him projected as a top 7 pick in the NBA draft next year. Cole Anthony, Greg Anthony's kid.
I wouldn't be surprised if he has a monster season and he catapults it.
Probably the second point guard taken in the draft, though.
Yeah.
You know the truth on that.
Ball?
Yes, of course.
Is he a true point? Or is, I think he's just more of the quintessential NBA guard now, right?
Listed LaMelo, listed at 6'8", now 180. He's actually a little taller than Lonzo.
You know, the NBA is all about integrity, Steve, so we'll get to the bottom of that height. We'll get the exact measurement on that
height.
You're right! That's right. Without shoes. Without shoes.
The lie won't last, because you know LeVar's pumping up his height a little bit.
Of course.
The NBA will get him. Damn it!
Well, what was the thing, too? Kevin Durant had that bit like a couple years ago with the ladies. I'm seven whatever, but in the NBA, I'm 6'9", because he wants to be tall when he's in the club. But when you're in the NBA,
I didn't know that he embraced the 7-footer thing when he's in the club.
Yeah, because as you know, he doesn't want to be listed as a center, so he likes to be listed as 6'9", 6'10". But then when you're trying to impress the ladies, of course you're 7 feet tall.
When you're that tall and the ladies are assuming something's going to unfurl at the end of the night, does it really matter that you're 6'9", 6'10", or 7 foot?
I don't think so.
I mean, it's come on. How big do you have to be? Right?
Like in Tyler Perry's Girl, is it The Girl's Vacation? Good movie.
Okay.
Good scene.
We got some things to watch. We got to watch Power.
Yeah.
We've got to watch Over the Top. And what's a Tyler Perry movie?
Is it Girls Vacation with Tiffany Haddish?
We're going to look that up. Yeah. We're running out of time. We don't know the name of the movie. That's a damn shame. Baseball talk. Koken and Russ are on the way. Come see us tomorrow. Raiders game. Silver Sevens. $1.77 beers.